Maman Vishnu Praya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kilamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prasarane Nivasesha Sanyavadi Prasarane Desa. The demigods, they finding no other recourse due to the terror and oppression of Hiranyakashipu, they took shelter of the Lord. Prabhupada uses the phrase, at last, fearful and disturbed, unable to find any other shelter, at last, they at last surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. Om Ganita Mirandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chakshu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kazamayam Dadati Saltanantikam Manasika Patrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhayivacha Patitanam Pabhanevyo Vaishnavayo. Vidha bhajante imam jana sukhitino arjana artha gigyasa artha ti gyanicha paratasava. So in distress, the demigods prayed to the Lord. Certainly sukhitinas, pious souls. But when there's some enjoying spirit within someone, even though they may be pious, turning to the Lord is the last resort. But when Krishna kindly removes all our alternatives, then one can call out to the Lord with great feeling and need, like a baby crying for mother. So the demigods, they were very serious. Without sleep, controlling their minds, living on only their breath. What does that mean, that they were living only on their breath? They weren't eating, they weren't drinking. Maintaining their strength, focusing their mind on the Lord, maintaining their strength, just breathing, just eating air. They refused to do anything else, practically speaking. And they worshipped Lord Rishikesh with the following meditation. Well, the meditation, we heard about it in verse 23. They focus their minds in the direction of the Lord, where the Lord is situated. Then there appeared before them a transcendental sound vibration emanating from a personality not visible to material eyes. The voice was as grave as the sound of a cloud, and it was very encouraging, driving away all fear. The voice of the Lord vibrated as follows. O best of learned personalities, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you. Become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and shall surely stop them very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Prabhupada's purport. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. Is it good to be eager to see God? But let me put it in another way. Is it good to be qualified to see God? And let me put it in still another way. Is it good to be eager to serve God? So actually, when we want to see God, if we're not qualified with the desire to serve God, our desire to see God will be something like tourism, or with ourselves at the center. But the desire to serve Krishna is actually a desire that is based on love. So that is actually the qualification to see Krishna. Sometimes people are very much eager to see God. And considering the word Maddarshanam, seeing me, which is mentioned in this verse, one should note that in Bhagavad Gita the Lord says, Bhaktyamam Abhijananti. In other words, the ability to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to see Him, or talk with Him, depends on one's advancement in devotional service, which is called bhakti. In bhakti, there are 9 different activities: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Because all these devotional activities are absolute, there is no fundamental difference between worshipping the deity in the temple, seeing Him, and chanting His glories. Indeed, all of these are ways of seeing Him. For everything done in devotional service is a means of direct contact with the Lord. The vibration of the Lord's voice appeared in the presence of all the devotees. And although the person vibrating the sound was unseen to them, they were meeting or seeing the Lord because they were offering prayers and because the vibration of the Lord was present. Contrary to the laws of the material world, there is no difference between seeing the Lord, offering prayers, and hearing the transcendental vibration. Pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Why? Because in that glorification they associate with the Lord. In hearing the holy names of the Lord, they associate with the Lord. Or by preaching about the Lord, they are associating with the Lord. So pure devotees, therefore, are fully satisfied by glorifying the Lord. Such glorification is called kirtan. Performing kirtan and hearing the vibration of the sound Hare Krishna is actually seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must realize this position, and then one will be able to understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. That actually is one of the symptoms of the stage of bhava bhakti, when one understands that the Lord and His name are none different. And when one chants the holy name of the Lord, one experiences the person who is Krishna. The holy name and the person who is named by the name, they are none different, but on the stage of Baba one realizes this. That's pure devotion. And then one can understand the absolute nature of the Lord's activities. One must realize this position. That would mean if our consciousness was pure enough, if we had love for Krishna, then as we chanted Krishna's names, we would be experiencing Krishna, not just once, but continuously. How wonderful. But not only is that wonderful for a pure devotee, even one aspiring to be purified, aspiring to be a pure devotee and becoming purified, gets so much benefit from chanting Krishna's names. Because abhinatvam namanamana, the name of the Lord and the Lord are none different. They are the same. Abhina. So the Lord told the demigods after hearing that prayer, I know about Hiranyakashipu, and I will stop his horrible, abominable, oppressive, nasty, atrocious activities very soon. Please wait patiently until that time. Now why is it? If he knew about the horrible activities of Hiranyakashipu, why didn't he stop them before the demigods came to him? He knew about them already. He was aware of them. Why didn't he? Because there are pastimes involved. The Lord's desire will unfold in his own way, at his own time. Sometimes we don't like Krishna's plan. We prefer our own plans, how things should work. But fortunately, Krishna has his way, and we don't, even though it might not be so pleasant for us according to our calculations. But Krishna has his own way of doing things. The Lord continued, when one is envious of the demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Vedas, which give all knowledge, of the cows, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. So there's teachings in the way that the Lord performs his activities. Haranyakashipu rises to the highest power. He controls everyone. He exhibits his envy of the Lord, of the Vedas, of the Brahmins, of the Vaishnavas, of religious principles. So when everyone knows his envious nature and it is really clear, then the Lord comes to teach how such envious activities bring ruination. And especially as we'll soon hear, Haranyakashipu is killed when he becomes envious of and becomes violent towards Prahlad, his son, the pure devotee, because that sparks the Lord's advent, because the Lord will not tolerate his devotee being in such difficulty by such an envious person. But we'll get to that soon. When Haranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, Prabhupada uses the word teases here, the Sanskrit word is druyet, when he commits violence, maha-atmani, svasuttaya, unto his own son, who is a great devotee, Prahlad, who is prashantaya, very sober and peaceful, Navaraya, without any enemies, when he becomes violent, envious, inimical, teases, causing trouble to this boy who is without enemies, who is sober and peaceful, then I shall kill Haranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Lord Brahma. Despite all Haranyakashipu's plans, his intelligence, his austerities, which ultimately flower and fruit in him receiving benedictions from Brahma, despite that, through all his intelligence, that he has become more or less immortal and deathless, despite that, his endeavor, I will kill him immediately. Despite the benedictions of Lord Brahma, here is Prabhupada's purport. Of all sinful activities. I didn't read the verse properly. When Haranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemies, I shall kill Haranyakashipu immediately, despite the benedictions of Brahma. Purport. Of all sinful activities, an offense to a pure devotee or Vaishnava is the most severe. And there are different levels of offenses. The first level is mental, lightest. Second level, verbal, heavy, offending verbally the Lord, especially publicly like that. And the heaviest of all is physical. Greatest offense. Physically harming a Vaishnava, an exalted Vaishnava, especially. An offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava is so disastrous that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has compared it to a mad elephant that enters a garden and causes great havoc by unrooting many plants and trees, because the elephant is so powerful, he has his trunk, he lifts up this plant and that tree, causing great havoc. And does he discriminate between the good trees and the bad trees, the flowers that the gardener likes? No, he's indiscriminate, he's maddened, insane, angry, uproots everything. If one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, his offenses uproot all his auspicious activities. One should therefore very carefully guard against committing Vaishnava aparadha, or offenses at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Here the Lord clearly says that although Hiranyakashipu had received benedictions from Lord Brahma, these benedictions would be null and void as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, his own son. A Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is described here in his Nirvaira, having no enemies. And this is one of the first things that Prahlad is going to speak of. Hiranyakashipu chastises him. You have taken the side of our enemies, the devotees, the demigods, the Vaishnavas, those who serve Vishnu. And if we remember, Hiranyakashipu is specifically anti-Vishnu, because Vishnu, Varahadev, had killed his brother Hiranyaksha, so he had been sworn enemy of Vishnu. He was an enemy. He thought that Prahlad had been influenced by the enemy, the Vaishnavas, and therefore had become favorable to Vishnu. And then, when he was placed under the care of Sundana Marka, his two teachers, they were very sweet with him. Oh, Prahlad, tell us, how have our enemies come to you and influenced you? Who has done this? Who has made you into a devotee? And Prahlad was actually shocked. He was actually shocked. Previously, I've heard of people thinking in terms of friends and enemies. Now I'm hearing it, seeing it directly. There's no one who is friend or enemy. Everyone is servant of the Lord. This teaching is very wonderful. No sectarianism in that way. Everyone is a servant of the Lord. So, Prahlad was truly like that. Nivara. He was equal to everyone. He had no enemies like that. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. Chaitanya, just do it quickly, all the crinkling. Get it all over one go. Crinkle, 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 crinkle. Well, we can have a crinkle kirtan for a few moments. So, a Vaishnava like Prahlad Maharaj is described as Navaira, having no enemies. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-21, it is said by Kapila Muni, Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sarva Sarubhushanam. A devotee has no enemies. Ajata Shatrava. No enemies. The Lord is Samoham Sarvabhuteshu. His devotee. No enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone. But if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, despite what other benedictions he may have received from other sources. They are overridden by the anger of the Lord by this principle. In fact, it describes in the Mahabharata that Krishna showing that somewhere he is compared to a kalpataru, a wish-fulfilling desire tree. Because whatever you want from the tree, it will give. So equal reciprocation with desire. But Krishna says, I am not like that. I am more than that. Because a desire tree doesn't become the enemy of those who are inimical to my devotees. But I do. Krishna says, in the Mahabharata, I believe, that anyone who is an enemy of the Pandavas, he is my enemy. Indeed, he would not eat the food that Duryodhana offered to him. Anyone who is envious of my devotees, I take that as a personally an enmity with me. I become the enemy of that person. Become angry at that person. This is Krishna. Person. A devotee does not create enmity with anyone, but if someone becomes his enemy, that person will be vanquished by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Despite what other benedictions, whatever benedictions he may have received from other sources. Hiranyakashipu was certainly enjoying the fruitful results of his austerities. But here the Lord says that as soon as he committed an offense at the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj, he would be ruined. One's longevity, opulence, beauty, education, whatever else one may possess as a result of pious activities, cannot protect one if one commits an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Despite whatever one possesses, if one offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he will be vanquished. So this is what the Lord said. So he will come at the time when Hiranyakashipu tries to harm Prahlad. The great sage Narada continued, Narada is speaking to Yudhisthira narrating this, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master of everyone, thus reassured all the demigods living in the heavenly planets, they offered their respectful obeisances unto him and returned, confident that the demon, Hiranyakashipu, was now practically dead. There was some time separating Hiranyakashipu from his death, but he was, for all practical purposes, dead. Just like if one takes a poison that may kill one in a day. So once one takes it, one's dead, is already dead, practically speaking, but some time remains. So Hiranyakashipu's mentality, his deep envy, was going to kill him. But it was now, as the Lord said, it is just a matter of time. So the demigods were confident. They went to the Lord out of fear. Their fear was removed. When one has some problem, even if it is a personal problem, any problem, one should go to the Lord. The highest going to the Lord is not to solve my problem, but to serve Him. But yet, if we have a problem, a difficulty, a need, we should go to Him. And it may not be the highest, but it will purify us so we can reach the highest platform. And we should not go to anyone else. We should depend upon Him. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Prahlad, indeed, was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead, and good qualities, the best qualities, naturally manifest within devotees. Because they're pure. Yes, yasya bhakti bhagavata kinchanat sarvas gunas tatra samaste sura harava bhaktasya kutama hudgana guna manaratena sato davato vahi. So the devotee naturally develops good qualities. The wonderful example is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing Sanatana Goswami, and he told the story of Magrari, the hunter, Mriga Adi, Ari means enemy. Mriga means deer, or generically animals. Migrari, the enemy of the animals. He was a hunter. He got pleasure. Before meeting Narada Muni, he got pleasure out of seeing the animals half killed, writhing in pain. It would give him happiness to see the torturous condition the animals are in, the suffering of the animals. But then, after becoming a devotee, he would not step on an ant, even to visit his spiritual master in Parasaramuni. He was careful to remove the ants on the path so he would not cause them the slightest pain. The same person after he became a devotee. So Prahlad was a great devotee, an exalted devotee, a reservoir of wonderful qualities. The qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, now Narada is going to describe some of them. Who was the son of Hiranyakashipu? So this means that it's the qualification at the birth that makes one either glorious or abominable. Qualification means what qualities one possesses. So now Narada is going to describe some of the qualities of Prahlad. He was completely cultured as a qualified Brahmana. What family was he born in? Was he born in a Brahminical family? No, he was born in a Suric family. Qualified as a Brahmin. Having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth, he had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he acted exactly like a menial servant. To the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother. And he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older godbrothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So respectful, he was so qualified, but yet he was so respectful, so cultured. This is culture. How could one, so qualified, being in such a powerful position, act so humbly? So Narada continues saying, he was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. He was prideless, humble. From Prabhupada's purport about some of the way down. A Vaishnava is always determined to understand the absolute truth. And to understand the absolute truth, one needs to have full control over his senses and mind. Prahlad Maharaj possessed all these qualities. A Vaishnava is always a well-wisher to everyone. The six Goswamis, for example, are described in this way, Dhira Dhira Janapriyao. They were popular with both the gentle and the ruffians. A Vaishnava must be equal to everyone, regardless of one's position. Atmavat, a Vaishnava should be like Paramatma. Ishvara Savabhutanam Riddhishe Arjuna Tishtati. Paramatma does not hate anyone. Indeed, he is in the heart of a Brahmana, but he's also even in the heart of a pig. As the moon never refuses to distribute its pleasing rays even to the home of a chandal, a Vaishnava never refuses to act for everyone's welfare. Very glorious qualities. 33. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger. He was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the fruit of activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. not intellectually only, but deeply realized. Nothing can be gained and therefore useless from material desires. He always controlled his senses and life air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all lusty desires. Steady intelligence, determination. And all these qualifications were not due to his birth, but due to his association and purity, sincerity. O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are also found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. Prabhupada explains in his purport that a devotee acquires qualities almost the same as that of the Lord, as those of the Lord, because of unalloyed devotional service. Ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in full, but partially. There's a famous American, Benjamin Franklin. He wrote an autobiography that's quite interesting, very interesting actually. But one thing was that he was a very super intelligent person, great inventor, very practical, very intelligent. So once he made a plan. First he noted down all his bad qualities. Not bad qualities, but qualities that he wanted to improve. And they were all listed in his autobiography. And then he made a system. Month by month, or perhaps it was week by week, or every 2 weeks or whatever, he would choose one or two of those qualities and concentrate his mind on those for that entire time period, trying to improve them. If he was lazy for that week or two, he would become determined not to be lazy. If he was not punctual or not clean for that week or time period, his consciousness would focus on that, and his plan was to recycle through all these qualities and try to improve. And lo and behold, and he, if I remember correctly, he states this in the book, that after whatever time, after cycling through all the qualities in a very systematic way, after a year or so, he saw he hadn't improved at all. But just see Magrari automatically. Yes, yes, the bhakti, Bhagavata Kinshana. And this man was very intelligent, incredibly intelligent, so determined. So ordinary living beings cannot be so qualified, but a devotee can be qualified like the Supreme Personality of God. Not in full, he can't be God, but partially, proportionally. In any assembly describing the glories of Prahlad Maharaj, in any assembly where there are discourses about saints and devotees, O King Yudhisthira, even the enemies of the demons, namely the demigods, what to speak of you, would cite Prahlad Maharaj as an example of a great devotee. Who can list the innumerable transcendental qualities of Prahlad Maharaj? He had unflinching faith in Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, and unalloyed devotion to him. His attachment to Lord Krishna was natural because of his previous devotional service. Although his good qualities cannot be enumerated, they prove that he was a great soul, a Mahatma. Bahunam, Prabhupada quotes in his purport, Bahunam Dhanamanante Yanamam Prabhupada Vasudeva Savamiti Samahatma Sadolava. That when one actually takes shelter of Vasudeva, then he becomes a Mahatma. Mahatmanas Tumam Parto Daivam Prakritam Ashrita. that the Mahatma, his qualification, his prime qualification, is that he's taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. Indeed, in the Bhagavatam, in Harinam Chintamani, when it describes how to take advantage of the holy name of the Lord, it describes, in describing that one sato nindam paramam apararam vitanute, that we should avoid blaspheming devotees. So then the next question is, well, how do you know who's a devotee? Then the qualifications or the qualities of the devotees are listed from the Bhagavatam. There are so many qualities. And out of those, one of them is that he has surrendered unto the Supreme Lord. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that if someone exhibits that one quality of surrenderedness to the Lord, taking shelter of the Lord, taking shelter of the internal energy, if he's actually surrendered, even if he has no other qualities, still he is a Vaishnava, a very highly qualified Vaishnava, because of that one quality. And those other qualities may come, they will come. But even if they don't, if he has that one quality of having taken shelter of the Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, do not offend such a person, because it will be offense to a Vaishnava. So how careful we have to be. This is a Mahatma, a great soul, one who has taken shelter of the Lord. Daivim prakritamashrita. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. Practically, he was not of this world, Prahlad. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of a great person fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That absorption brings such sweetness. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramoti sarvatrohaya nija ishta deva sputi. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Valochanena Shanta Sadaiva Ridayeshu Valokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shyamasunda, situated within the heart of the devotee. An exalted devotee, or Mahatma, who is rarely to be seen, remains fully conscious of Krishna and constantly sees the Lord within the core of his heart. It is sometimes said that when one is influenced by evil stars like Saturn, Rahu, or Ketu, he cannot make advancement in any prospective activity. In just the opposite way, Prahlad Maharaj was influenced by Krishna, the supreme planet, and thus he could not think of the material world and live without Krishna consciousness, because one of the words in this verse, Krishna Graha, Grihitatma, so he's influenced, Krishna Graha, in Prabhupada's word by words, he says, by Krishna, who is like a strong influence, like a Graha or planetary influence. When one is influenced by a particular planet, one is forced to act under that influence. It's not that one has control. So similarly, Prahlad was so much under the influence of Krishna that he could not understand how anyone can live without that. So much under Krishna's pull and influence, under the sweetness of Krishna consciousness. So he could not think of the material world as the material world. He had no false ego. He could not live without Krishna consciousness. That is the sign of a Mahabhagavata. Even if one is an enemy of Krishna, a Mahabhagavata sees him to be also engaged in Krishna's service. Another crude example is that everything appears yellow to the jaundiced eye. Similarly, to a Mahabhagavata, everyone but himself appears to be engaged in Krishna's service. Prahlad Maharaj is the approved Mahabhagavata, the supreme devotee. In the previous verse, it was stated that he had natural attachment, naisargikarati. The symptoms of such natural attachment for Krishna are described in this verse. Although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, he had no interest in playing. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, vyaktir nyatra cha, the symptoms of perfect Krishna consciousness is that one loses interest in all material activities. For a small boy to give up playing is impossible, but Prahlad Maharaj, being situated in first-class devotional service, was always absorbed in a trance of Krishna consciousness. Just as a materialistic person is always absorbed in thoughts of material gain, a Mahabhagavata like Prahlad Maharaj is always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Text 38. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in thought of Krishna. Thus, being always embraced by the Lord, he did not know how his bodily necessities, such as sitting, walking, eating, lying down, drinking, and talking, were being automatically performed. He was so much absorbed in Krishna, he did not think or care or act on the bodily level at all. This is described also in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam. Kapila Muni also describes this as an exalted symptom of a devotee. Everything is happening by Krishna, and the karma of the body, the Prarabdha karma of the body, this is Baba Bhakti, at least. So wonderful. Prabhupada's purport. A small child, while being cared for by his mother, does not know how the needs of his body for eating, sleeping, lying down, passing water, and evacuating are being fulfilled. He is simply satisfied to be on the lap of his mother. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj was exactly like a small child being cared for by Govinda. The necessary activities of his body were performed without his knowledge. As a father and mother care for their child, Govinda cared for Prahlad Maharaj, who remained always absorbed in thoughts of Govinda. This is Krishna consciousness. Prahlad Maharaj is the vivid example of perfection in Krishna consciousness. Because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, text 39, he, Prahlad, sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. And this comparison is very interesting. A devotee becomes simple like a child. Prahlad's situation is very dangerous on one level. Why? Because his father, his protector, is trying to kill him. So dangerous. But like a child is unaware of danger when he is being held by the hand of the Lord, by his parent rather. Similarly, Prahlad had no awareness of his danger. He was just only aware of Krishna. So because of advancement in Krishna consciousness, he sometimes cried, sometimes laughed, sometimes expressed jubilation, and sometimes sang loudly. Purport. This verse further clarifies the comparison of a devotee to a child. So even in the Bible it is said that one has to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Very simple in his dependence on the Lord. If a mother leaves a small child in his bed or cradle and goes away to attend to some family duties, the child immediately understands that his mother has gone away, and therefore he cries. But as soon as his mother returns and cares for the child laughs and becomes jubilant. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, while being always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, sometimes felt separation, thinking, where is Krishna? This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vedahena Me. When an exalted devotee feels that Krishna is invisible, having gone away, he cries in separation. And sometimes when he sees that Krishna has returned to care for him, he laughs, just as a child sometimes laughs upon understanding that his mother is taking care of him. These symptoms are called bhava in the nectar of devotion. Various bhavas, ecstatic conditions of a devotee, are fully described. These bhavas are visible in the activities of a perfect devotee. So this is the stage of perfection, siddha-bhakti. Sometimes, upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. He sometimes lost his shyness and jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy, and sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj sometimes felt that the Lord was far away from him and therefore called him loudly. When he saw that the Lord was before him, he was fully jubilant. Sometimes, thinking himself one with the Supreme, he imitated the Lord's pastimes. And in separation from the Lord, he would sometimes show symptoms of madness. These feelings of a devotee would not be appreciated by impersonalists. One must go further and further into spiritual understanding. The first realization is impersonal Brahman, but one must go still further to realize Paramatma and eventually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the transcendental feelings of a devotee in a relationship of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. Here, the feelings of Prahlad Maharaj were in the mellow of Vatsalya, filial love and affection. As a child cries when left by his mother, when Prahlad Maharaj felt that the Lord was away from him, he began to cry. A devotee like Prahlad sometimes sees that the Lord is coming from a long distance to pacify him, like a mother responding to a child saying, "My dear child, do not cry, I am coming." Then the devotee, without being ashamed due to his surroundings and circumstances, begins to dance, thinking, "Here is my Lord. My Lord is coming." Thus the devotee, in full ecstasy, sometimes imitates the pastimes of the Lord, just as the cowherd boys used to imitate the behavior of the jungle animals. However, he does not actually become the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj achieved the spiritual ecstasies described herein by his advancement in spiritual understanding. 41. Sometimes, feeling the touch of the Lord's lotus hand, he became spiritually jubilant and remained silent, his hair standing on end, and tears gliding down from his half-closed eyes because of his love for the Lord. Srila Prabhupada's purport. When a devotee feels separation from the Lord, he becomes eager to see where the Lord is. And sometimes, when he feels pangs of separation, tears flow incessantly from his half-closed eyes. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikastak, Yugayitam nameshena chakshusha pravishayitam. The word chakshusha pravishayitam refer to tears falling incessantly from the devotee's eyes. These symptoms, which appear in pure devotional ecstasy, were visible in the body of Prahlad Maharaj. 42. Because of his association with perfect unalloyed devotees who had nothing to do with anything material, Prahlad Maharaj constantly engaged in the service of the Lord's lotus feet. By seeing his bodily features when he was in perfect ecstasy, persons very poor in spiritual understanding became purified. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj bestowed upon them transcendental bliss. Purport. Apparently, Prahlad Maharaj was placed in circumstances in which he was always tortured by his father. In such material conditions, one cannot have an undisturbed mind. But since bhakti is unconditional, ahaitukya pratiyata, Prahlad Maharaj was never disturbed by the chastisements of Hiranyakashipu. On the contrary, the bodily symptoms of his ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead turned the minds of his friends, who had also been born in atheistic families. Instead of being disturbed by the torments of his father, Prahlad influenced these friends and cleansed their minds. A devotee is never contaminated by material conditions, but persons subjected to material conditions can become spiritually advanced and blissful upon seeing the behavior of a pure devotee. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demon Hiranyakashipu tormented this exalted, fortunate devotee, although Prahlad was his own son. Purport. When a demon like Hiranyakashipu, despite his elevated position due to severe austerities, begins to tease a devotee, he begins falling down, and the results of his austerities dwindle. One who oppresses a pure devotee loses all the results of his austerities, penances, and pious activities. Since Hiranyakashipu was now inclined to chastise his most exalted devotee son, Prahlad Maharaj, his opulence began dwindling. So when Yudhisthira Maharaj heard about these incredible, exalted, ecstatic qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj asked the following question. O best of the saints amongst the demigods, Sura Rishi, or Deva Rishi, O best of the saints amongst the demigods, O best of spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Prahlad Maharaj was his own son? I wish to know about this subject from you. Prahlad had so many exalted qualities, and not only that, he was the son of Hiranyakashipu, yet he tortured him? So Yudhisthira Maharaj asks. We'll read from about halfway down Prabhupada's purport. A devotee like Narada Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and Vrata means vow. Thus, the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. So that is the greatest Suvrata. I'll have nothing to do with the material world. That is the most auspicious or good vow. How wonderful. Why shouldn't one have anything to do with the material world? Because the material world, Prabhupada says, is always bad. Prabhupada once said, unless one is convinced of that, he cannot really do anything spiritual. One cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar puffed up with academic knowledge. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijananti, one must try to understand Krishna by devotional service and from a devotee. Therefore, Yudhisthira Maharaj was quite right in wanting to learn further about Prahlad Maharaj from Sri Narada Muni. And the last two verses of this chapter, Yudhisthira Maharaj says, a father and mother are always affectionate to their children. When the children are disobedient, the parents chastise them, not due to enmity, but only for the child's instruction and welfare. How did Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, chastise such a noble son? That is what I am eager to know. Maharaj Yudhisthira further inquired, How is it possible for a father to be so violent towards an exalted son who is an obedient, well-behaved, and who is obedient, well-behaved, and respectful to the father? O Brahmana, O Master, I have never heard of such a contradiction as an affectionate father's punishing his noble son with the intention of killing him. Kindly dissipate our doubts in this regard. So thus on the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. Tomorrow, Krishna allows, we'll hear more about Prahlad Maharaj and his dealings with his father, Kashipu. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Govrimanande Hare Hare Bol.